We were talking during the Community Garda information there about road safety, and Anne-Marie spotted something on the roads. So I'd say you got quite a bit of a shock on this one, Anne-Marie. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, to say the least. Mm. I was coming down at Drumkeen at the 4x4 garage there on the main road. Mm-hmm. And there was a car parked on the left-hand side of the road as I was coming down, and I was kind of watching for, you know, that nobody was going to get out of the car, that it wasn't going to pull out in front of me. And next thing, my husband let out a screech. He says, "Watch!" And there was a man in front of me. He had run straight across the road. Had there been anything coming in the opposite direction, I would have had to hit one of the two of them.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So you were able to cross over to avoid him.
Yeah, I had to swerve to avoid him. Yeah,
wow.
Because like I say, I was watching for the car that was on the left hand side of the road. Like he was running across to that car.
I get you. Yeah.
But I mean, Donald was obviously watching. You know, looking in at the 4x4 garage as you do when you're passing garages, and he saw him like. He had bolted from behind the car that was on the opposite side of the road.
My word, so scary.
Believe you me, scary is not the word for it. Mm. Not the word for it. And of course, it would have been, she would have been coming down that road in her lane.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know.
Yeah.
And a man that should have known better, like he was no young fella. Definitely no young fella.
And he's lucky to be alive, 1 or 2 years or 3 years for that matter. God knows what
absolutely
could have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And it was 6:15 p.m. So was it dark? Daylight?
Yeah.
It was daylight,
well,
I presume.
It was daylight, but it was a grey evening. Friday evening was a grey evening. Like,
takes a wee while to get over something like that, Anne-Marie, doesn't it? Do you know when you have a close one? You just don't wake up the next day and everything's all right. It's the what ifs and all this kind of stuff that goes through your head.
Well, I can tell you, I was actually sitting for about 8 before I could speak again anyway in Letterkenny.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thank God. But it serves as a reminder, Anne-Marie, that pedestrians do have to be really careful on the roads too and give the motorists a chance. But thankfully, all's well that's ends well.
This guy obviously had gone to look at a car or look at something in the garage, mm-hmm. you know, and then was coming back to the car that was parked opposite.
Yes, okay.
You know, he obviously only looked one way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Okay, anyway, Anne-Marie, it's a good word of warning.
All
thanks
right,
so much.
He's lucky to have his life intact today anyway.
Yeah, I get you. No, that comes across loud and clear, Anne-Marie. Thank you so very much indeed. Staying with the roads, a caller says, "Greg, I'm in Dunlow and I'm sick of pedestrians walking in the evening. I near swept 2 people off the road on Sunday evening. It's not on for drivers. If I, God forbid, hit them, I'd be the bad person. They should be more responsible for their own actions, I think." So is it that they weren't wearing high vis, or just the fact that the road is not suitable for pedestrians? Is there more to that story? Greg, do you have to book to see the relics at night? No, you just show up and queue. So no, you don't have to see the relics. I think that overnight thing's a good idea. It's going to suit people. Hi, Greg. Just about the oak tree in Letterkenny, about it being cut. What about the near 1,000 acres that's on about being ripped apart for the Tentee bypass? I'd like to see these people on my farm to show them the destruction that's been caused to my land and that of the wildlife. No one wants to talk about that. I'm sure a majority of those in Letterkenny have no thoughts on that. They just want the bypass. I'm losing 25 acres of land that I can't replace. No matter about the money I get for the land, it'll never replace my original farm that my father and grandfather worked hard to get. Yeah, you're 100% spot on. And if the truth be told as well, how many people are worried about that oak tree? I mean, it's a conversation point, and a few locals certainly are, but on the wider scale of things, many people probably aren't. And you're quite right too. Maybe we say, we'll stuff it, you know, we'll get a good road and not think of the landowners. So I'm glad you texted in to make that point, and hopefully you feel heard this morning. I disagree, Greg. The councillors are powerless when it comes to hospital. They can highlight this publicly and threaten to resign from their respective parties if they really cared. They have options. That comes in from Martin. And Martin, I tried to allude to that. I'm trying to be fair as well. Of course they could. But then, you know, they would say, well, any chance of change we have by influencing within the party, you know, I think we've all heard it quite a few times. Hi, Greg. I got referred to the ENT clinic in 2018. I only got seen last year, 2023. My hearing is now deteriorating both ears. I only 2 weeks ago got sent back to the ENT doctor by spending months and months trying to get answers, which left my condition a lot worse. It left the condition a lot worse, which could have been avoided if I was seen 2 years ago. I could deal with it, but 6 years of waiting is just awful.
Yeah,
and that's it. The delayed diagnosis, the delayed appointments, it's not just a waste of time. It's people's conditions deteriorating. Greg, would anyone know what rights homeowners have when a farmer ploughs his field and leaves the road completely covered in muck? Where we live, our drive is saturated with muck being dragged down the down from a mess a farmer has left on the road whilst spreading slurry. It's getting carried into our home. What are the rights there? I presume, I'd notify the council first and foremost because it is their road, isn't it? And maybe they can take it up with the farmer or clear the road one way or another. I mean, God forbid, if someone had a crash and they slipped on that mud, the farmer would be very worried then. So has anyone any proper advice there? I don't know. I would have gone in touch with the council and say, look, the road's been left in a mess. Either take it up with the landowner, the council that is, or the council can clean it. I'm not sure what the situation is, but someone out there will know. Hi, Greg. Can someone from management in LUH be asked about that bed situation and the man taking up a bed for 5 days for a minor problem? It's a management problem. Get someone to explain why. We endeavour all the time to get answers, by the way. Sorry, I should reference that more. We follow up. A lot of it's off-air, much of it on-air. We follow up pretty much all of the contacts that are made to us to try and get those exact obvious answers. Trust, that's what we do. That's what the team do here. Most of the hard work goes on behind the scenes. I had my son in ED in Letterkenny a couple of Sundays ago, and there was a lot of nurses walking about, not rushed off their feet. The problem with the ED is lack of doctors to see patients and make a decision. People in the Leck Road were approached 6 years ago to say that some houses would be taken away along with gardens. Some houses are worth nothing. They've got red lines through them. We don't know what's going on. Hopefully the same won't happen at Ballyrain. Another caller says, I was listening to the Dáil live stream regarding houses bought by the University of Limerick. The president is currently on sabbatical and someone is standing in for them. The president will be promoted to a professor of visual art. She'll not be lecturing. The post was made for her so that she can happily retire. How is this allowed to happen? Well, whatever's happened on UL is going to get an awful lot of scrutiny. If that is the case, as you've outlined, I'd be surprised if it's allowed pass because there's a lot of controversy down there, which benefited Donegal, actually, if the truth be told, in the provision of a veterinary school up here. I see two shops this week so far with 50% sale signs up, and when one goes in, it's not 50, it's maybe 20. It's about time shopkeepers realised that this is very misleading and so wrong. I can't speak to the shops that you talk of, but often above the 50% it's up to, and you go in and there's a railing where you will see some stuff at 50% and elsewhere where it's 20%. At the end of the day, it's a tough old industry to work in, and, you know, the 50% gets you through the door. Is it misleading? I'm not sure. If you feel it is misleading, then it is misleading. But I would say there's probably an up to above the 50%. Might not be the same size as the 50%, but I imagine it's there. Good morning, Greg. Can you please mention a meeting that's called to address the growing concern regarding the new SPHE curriculum at 7 p.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, in the Station House Hotel, Letterkenny? Anything that impacts our children should be of concern to the public as a whole. Thank you in advance. And I think it's really important, too, that everyone is responsible in how they discuss that, in that we had one person as a whistleblower who's very well-intentioned, and I'm not saying that anything she's saying is not true, but you have the department saying what she is saying is actually not true. We as parents have the power to check what's being taught to our children as well, and it shouldn't really take, I don't think we can have blind trust of the education system anymore, and I don't think it should take a whistleblower for us to know what's being taught to our children. Is that a controversial thing to say? I think I can say that as a parent. Okay, back with more shortly. Now we're joined on the programme by Mary Daly, Tourism Development Officer with Donegal County Council. Good morning, Mary. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg. Good to speak to you.
Good to see you and speak to you again. Now, Donegal Tourism has launched a new advertising campaign in the It's Yours, It's Ours series. Talk to us about it. It's a bit of fun.
It is a bit of fun, and I suppose to give you the background of it, last year was the first in the series, and of course we used our own Donegal person, Eric Roberts, as the hero, I suppose, of the campaign. And the background, Donegal Tourism and Donegal County Council, it was coming up to our planning our campaigns for last year, and we wanted something different. We wanted something to stand out, and we have loads of beautiful videos in relation to the county, but then a lot of counties can have that. So how do you stand out from all the others? So we had a workshop with all our members of our trade and our partners, and we got together. And I suppose a lot of people were saying the same thing. Donegal, it's known for its people, its wit, and it was a matter of leveraging that wit and to try and come up with a unique campaign. So of course last year, people and your listeners will remember, Greg, we had the It's a Secret. So you might remember the start of the video last year, landing in Donegal Airport and pulling down the blinds. There's nothing to see here. So that was the concept last year. So how do we move forward from that? It was phenomenally successful. I mean, we had a reach of 43 million people and 8 million video alone. Views alone last year with the campaign and the autumn, winter and spring of this year. So how do we build on that? And how do we, I suppose, go to nearly season two of that? So again, we met this year. We met with the creative company that were producing the campaign, Big O, and we worked with Eric Roberts himself. He was again going to come on board this year, and we met with the trade and our partners again. And how do we leverage on that? So we came up with the campaign for this year, and this year's title of the campaign is Sharing Donegal. So Eric Roberts essentially has had a year to think about himself. Maybe he's gone to therapy, maybe he hasn't, but is he going to move on? Is he going to share some of the secrets? So he decides he's going to share some of the secrets, but at the end of the video, you see the mic drop moment where, no, his favourite spot, he's not going to share it. He just has enough. And he walks away. So I suppose what we want people to engage over the next 4 weeks is to engage with the campaign and to, you know, share their favourite spot. Like, so is Eric's favourite spot, you know, Mullinasole, Greg? Is it, is it Merva Beach?
Possibly.
Is it, you know, so what we want is the trade and people in Donegal and our diaspora.
And I think in the first instance as well, because the one thing I genuinely believe we're an advantage on is the source material. And in fairness to those behind the video, it's captured, you know, all over the place, anything you want to do. Actually, just the act of sharing a video in the first instance, sharing the video that's been made, you're doing your bit because, you're driving tourism to the region and supporting the economy. And of course, and then add on, you know, what bits have been missed out or what have you. But I think, you know, people say, well, what can I do? But, you know, often there's not much we can do, but it's something impactful you can do. Share the video.
Absolutely, Greg. So what we're asking people to do is tag, share, like, comment, you know, hashtag go visit Donegal. And then, as you say, they can engage further by sharing their actual own favourite spots and wondering, is that Eric's favourite spot, you know? So, you know, and the background to the whole campaign really, I suppose, as well, is, and the sole purpose of the campaign is to drive more visitors to the county in the shoulder seasons. So that's why the campaign has been running like autumn, winter last year, again in the spring of this year, and now in the autumn, winter. So it's all about extending that season for the members of our trade within the county.
We're and making also, inroads in that regard, are we? It does feel that the season kind of, I don't know, you can change the dates, of course, but, you know, St. Patrick's Day stroke, maybe Easter, up until Halloween, it does feel, you see a different type of tourist around now, seeing tourists around. There's not as many children, of course, maybe the age demographic's a little bit different. You know they're dressed for the weather because they've got scents, right? But it does feel, and there's always work to be done, it does feel that efforts to extend that season out on either end, as the shoulders, I think you described it as, is beginning to reap dividends.
It is exactly as you said. It's a different type of visitor, Greg. So, and a lot of times we call them at this time of the year the empty nesters.
I'm sure they love that. Don't stick that in a video.
So the empty nesters can be, you know, people you know, couples, young couples, couples of any age, but then people who maybe their family are gone off to college, they're gone off to school or whatever, and they're more available in terms of they can go for their midweek breaks, they can go for their weekend breaks. But we still see, I mean, we're coming up now, as of course, to the Halloween time as well. A lot of people, you know, take trips at Halloween with their family. You know, so like we are encouraging, we have our Go Visit Donegal website as well. And I would encourage our trade within Donegal, and we met with the trade yesterday online just to engage with them as well, and just to make sure all their offers are up to date, and to make contact with us in relation to getting their information up to date, because that's very important that they have everything, because all the eyes now hopefully is on Donegal in the next few weeks.
And it's so important. Can I just highlight one of my bugbears too? It's the and it appears on Google, it's the opening hours. It's remarkable how many businesses don't either know their opening hours are there, don't realise how many people reference them, don't realise how annoying it is you haven't updated them from your summer hours. Something as simple as that is so important for people who plan often really quite meticulously what they're going to do when they visit somewhere.
Exactly, Greg. And I suppose that's really what we are saying to people. Have your information up to date. You know, even if it's on your social media, if it's on Google, if it's on your website, but also on our website, because we are driving everyone to go visit Donegal. So, you know, have the information up to date. If you're closed on a Monday, have it up that you're closed on a Monday. If you're closing now in the winter season, maybe at 4 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock, have that up.
If you close on Monday and Tuesday, let people know, because they can go somewhere else that is
absolutely
open Monday and Tuesday.
And, you know, that's so important. And I mean, we are working with people on a day-to-day basis to make sure that their information is up to date, you know. And so like just to for an example, over the weekend, Greg, and we only launched this campaign on Thursday evening, and up until Sunday, the video alone has been seen 2 million times. So up until Sunday evening, that's the figures that are back, 2 million views. And also what people are doing, and this is unique, you don't normally see this in a campaign. The video is 130 seconds, 129, 130. Nearly all the video views are full-length views. They're 129. Mm. You know, normally, and we're all the same.
Get loads of three-second views, but it's when you get them staying to the end of it.
So, I mean, that was really encouraging yesterday when we seen the initial views from over the weekend. So I suppose just to reiterate again, Greg, what people can do, they can like and share and engage with the campaign. They can, you know, we'd love to hear the favourite spots that you think might have been Eric's favourite spot.
And also,
if he didn't walk
what
away.
People can do is make their own videos as well. You know, everyone's an influencer.
Yeah.
You know, make your own videos and go out and have fun with it.
Absolutely. You know, stand out media. Wherever and have that as your favourite place and share it and tag Go Visit Donegal. And, you know, like we have this beautiful county, you know, we're all here to promote the county. And, you know, it's just about engagement now, particularly as the campaign is running over the next 4 weeks.
Okay, listen, lovely to have you on the show again, and best wishes. I see you've made an appearance in the video yourself as well. Am I correct?
You know,
you were dragged into it, were you?
My agent is ready and waiting for all
Hollywood
calls
next.
Now at this
it's
stage.
It's literally just Hollywood next. That's the,
yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks. Take care, Mary Daly, right. Tourism Development Officer with Donegal County Council. As I say, if you can do your bit. Share the video out there and maybe post your own places, and also link to the website. Go visit Donegal. Every little helps, doesn't it? That's what the adverts tell us anyway. I live in a housing estate, says a listener, and I'm tired of asking the council for help. There's a row of houses who've trees blocking the view. People had to move their cars. Oh, right. That's the. Right, okay, this is the story I referenced earlier on, and I said, was it any council responsibility there? Get in contact with the council, will you, and just give us their response, and then we can chase it up from there. I know you already have, but perhaps no harm doing it again. Hi, Greg, says a listener. Regarding leaving my car into a garage for service, I got my car back. The steering was full of grease. The steering wheel, I presume. The door handles inside and outside were the same. The seated grease marks that I cannot remove, as it is half fabric, half leather. It stained the fabric. You'd think that they'd put a seat cover on a fairly new car. I just wondered, does any of your listeners have this problem in garages? Are you entitled to get your car cleaned by the garage? My clothes got ruined that day as well. Thank you for taking the time to read this. Regards. I don't know what to say. Has that happened to me before? I don't believe so. I mean, I've had cars sent back and the seats back and there's a bit of mud in the well. Nothing more severe than that. Have you contacted the garage, though? I think the first port of call is always to go back to the garage, because it could have been someone whose job it was to do that and they didn't do it. I think the first port of call is always to go back to the garage and say, look at the mess my car was left in. If you're not satisfied with that response, certainly get back in touch with us again. But maybe our listeners, and the purpose of the caller contacting us to begin with, was to sort of ask listeners what they might do in that situation. Greg, yesterday was a sad day for everyone thinking of Chrysler. I wasn't able to go to any of the services, but Highland remembered them all and I lit my candle and said a prayer for them. And that comes in from Maria. And indeed, Maria, these are the things that it's up to us, really, I suppose, as to how we mark them. For some, it could be going to a service. For others, it could be quiet reflection at home. For others, it could be going for a game of golf. And I don't mean that in any way insensitive. It's just literally people deal with sadness and things like that all in different ways often. Good morning, Greg. Get the so-called peacekeepers out. They're keeping no peace, just hiding in their bunkers, letting Hezbollah bring weapons in through that area. They're helping the terrorists, typically UN, the same UN that traded children for food. No word of that scandal. That's a take. Some will agree, some might. And just one on football. Terrific away draw for Manchester United at the weekend, and High Flying Villa should give Ten Hag a 3-year contract extension now, from a City fan. Okay, you'd love that, wouldn't you? Agree about Fulham being a good team to watch. Seem to be picking up good players who want to be based in London, but not good enough to play for Arsenal or Chelsea or Spurs. Example, Traore and Jimenez from Wolves, Iwobi from Everton, and Smith Rowe from Arsenal. Good shout, actually. I never thought of it in that way. Yep, you can get to live in London and all that razzmatazz, even if maybe you're not able to perform at the level required from your Arsenals and Spurs and what have you. Yeah, I enjoyed watching Fulham at the weekend. I have to say, they didn't win, but, you know, they played very well indeed. Now, A Life Among the Dead by David McGowan. He's Ireland's best-known funeral director. You might remember him from the award-winning Netflix documentary. Well, he is a funeral director, guides us through the business, the science, and the unexplained elements of death. David McGowan, good morning to you. Thanks so much for your time today.
Morning, Greg.
Right,
thanks for having me on.
No, it's great to have you on. Right, I suppose when we talk about educating us about the science and unexplained elements of death, what kind of stuff are we talking about there?
Well, I suppose we do. It's well known throughout the world that the Irish do death well.
Yeah.
And I can vouch for that, because I've travelled and worked in many of the country in the funeral industry. And to be honest, I couldn't wait to get back home to the west of Ireland, where I was comfortable doing the job. Loads of people, you know, around the world would often say to me, is it true that the reason you have a wake is an excuse for drinking? Now, I listened to that for years, and I had some arguments with some of the psychologists on death and dying, and I would get around to telling them the therapeutic reasons around the whole thing. And now, instead of talking to us about a big drinking party, now they're asking in their books and writing in their books, why do the Irish grieve better than anybody else in the world? Mm-hmm. So I was on stages in America and everywhere explaining the, you know, the wake and such, because they don't do that out there. They don't take people home. A lot of the dim rules and regulations are cut out. But when you explain the therapeutic reasons of taking somebody home, you know, they can see it. And, you know, what I have learned in the business from my years in it is the biggest loss any human being will ever experience is the loss of a loved one. And, you know, when somebody does pass on, the therapy of taking them home and waking them for in their house for nights, you know, it helps them start that whole grieving process.
And, you know, David, that was really underlined during COVID, where restrictions were introduced that interfered with that process. And I spoke to priests and others at that time, and even 5, 6, 7, 8 months, all different times after a burial, people had not even begun the grieving process. There was something that hadn't begun in them, you know, because they weren't allowed to take their loved one home, per se. The funeral was different. The burial was different. And it really interfered and affected people on a very deep level, which obviously proves your point about the importance of the way we do it and how it helps people go through that process.
Oh, yeah. And I talk about that in the book, and I try to get it across. No, what spurred me to write the book was the outcome of the documentary. And when that went up on Netflix, and it's still up there, so people must be still looking at it. So that's all over the world. The responses I got back from people who had lost loved ones and who were also terminally ill, it was unbelievable, the responses they got. Like I got several handwritten letters from people when they watched the documentary and how we do funerals, said to me in a roundabout way in those letters, like, it took the fear of dying out for them to see the way we gather around and mind the deceased, you know. They don't do that. Unique to Irish people. But that, it got people talking about death. Like, the only thing we're certain in life is death. Mm-hmm. And we don't talk about it because it's like a taboo subject. If you bring up death in any conversation or whatever, you're more likely to be told to shut up and don't be talking about things like that. Well, my attitude is, or my thinking of it is, if you don't talk about something, you'll always have a fear of it.
I think,
and
too,
I don't have a fear of death myself.
Which is good to hear, but for some people, you know, the fear of dying could be, you know, what the impact it might have on those they leave behind, you know, which is not personal. That's you worried about other people, not necessarily your own death. Also, the uncertainty of what is next. You know, does your consciousness cease completely? Does it continue in one form or another? If you're religious, do you go to heaven, or are you faced with, as we're told, the rest of eternity burning in hell, which is quite a worrying concern. So how would you advise people to deal, I suppose, with those questions, which might actually really be the fear of the death, not their actual demise?
Well, to be honest, I'm not afraid of death or dying. I fear the path to death, if terminal illness is to be my destiny, not knowing what kind of treatment lie ahead or the pain I might have to endure. But I don't fear my spirit leaving. Now, where the spirit goes, I don't know. But I do know when somebody passes away, and I give several examples of it in the book, the spirit does hang around for at least up to 30 days. Mm. Now, I know it moves off somewhere. I can't say where that is, but I do know that there is a very spiritual presence around that, of that person. Mm-hmm. And where they go after that, I don't know. And people will see signs of that. And I talk about it in the book. You know, you have the robins turning up at the door. You have unusual things happening. You know, you'll see, you know, I tell all the experiences I've seen and witnessed. And families coming back and telling me this. And I am of the belief, after working 40 years in the funeral industry, that the spiritual world is much greater than this one down here.
Yeah.
And if people talk to the spirit, they will come to them. And if you ask them for help, they will come to you and give you help. And I've mentioned several things that have happened in the book, but I could have wrote thin books on all the things that I've seen.
These are about unexplained happenings you're talking of. There's a full chapter on that in the book.
And families. And actually, there was a close friend of mine that passed away there recently.
Yes.
And one of the things he did, and he read the book, the one thing he said to his family was, make sure you open the windows when I pass away. I want to release the spirit, my spirit. And I don't fear that time. I don't fear when my spirit is being released. Mm. As I said to you, there's other things I might fear, but that one I definitely don't. Yeah, and there was a big response to it, and a big response to this as well. There's a lot of solace and comfort from listening to this, because grief, the bereaved is the people that grieve. The bereaved are the people that grieve. You know, the death has taken place. I never used the word death much. I used the word pass on, because I believe pass on to a greater place. And that in itself gives a lot of people solace and comfort. And also the fact that they know that their spirit. Now, I got a lot of my stories as well from older funeral directors and older people. I remember one time driving up to Malinhead to meet an old man, and the son rang me. He said, if you don't come quick, he said he's going to be dead. But I got up to him now, and he's told me some of the traditions, rituals and cultures around that in that parish was remarkable. But it was similar to the parish where I came from. Now, these stories came from people that knew it was going to rain tomorrow the way the birds flew.
Yeah.
So these people learned from nature. And I talk about nature as well. I think nature is very associated with the spiritual world as well.
Yeah,
it's a very
significant book. It's a good read, and there's a lot in there. I think some people will be particularly interested in the some of the chapters more than others, and what have you. But the whole way through it, and I think really you're informing people and educating them, but at the same time too, you're getting people to think about grief, to think about their own mortality, to come to terms with it, perhaps maybe how they might grieve themselves. And so, you know, as I say, there's stuff there that people will just find, you know, actually that's really quite an interesting story. But also you kind of take them on a journey that makes them maybe face mortality, face grief, and come to terms with it and learn maybe how to talk about it.
Yeah, and if you get, as I said, you know, if people don't talk about something you love, then fear of it. And as I said, it's one of the things we're certain about in life, that we will leave this planet like. And we should talk about it. And it might even make us think about our own mortality as well. And that makes it easy for a grieving family to know that the person's wishes were carried out. And that helps you. The grieving process is a whole mixed bag of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And some people cannot get into the grieving process. Like, for instance, these poor people in Crieff lost those people. They're still in the anger stage of grieving. They'll never reach the acceptance stage if they don't get a result of what happened to their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I would take this opportunity to call out for all political persuasions to pull whatever strings they have to get that public inquiry for them. They're suffering. You know, they're suffering, and they need an explanation of what happened and who's to be accountable. They cannot get into the grieving stage because they're stuck in the anger state.
And when you study grief. And there's trauma there
when
as well, too.
Grief,
yeah.
Oh, but Greg, their grief has been stolen of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're still in the anger state. So I just hope that the politicians and everybody else lobbies to get them what they want, because I know how painful that is for them, because I studied the whole psychology of death and dying. And the spiritual will look after them anyway. And if I do tell people that if the church isn't doing it for you, go to the shoreline, walk the beach. There's something to do with the tide, I believe, with the spiritual world. And I think it's the pull of that tide, the energy that's used. But people, if they park their car, and I do advise people walk that beach on their own. They don't want to be diverted in their thoughts. And by the time they get back to the car, I think most people I've spoken to that did that, they actually found relief from it. They did find the closeness to the spirit.
Okay.
If the sea doesn't do it for them, that forest birds has a big thing as well.
Okay.
And I think it's, like a man who lost his wife only last week told me, would you ever see a robin? He said, two nights after his wife died, at 10 o'clock at night in the porch.
Oh, yeah, after my father died, I'd never seen a robin, and it effectively moved in at the back of the house. It was really quite remarkable. And people will see that in their own lives. One final question, if you don't mind. When you decide, not when you decided, because it's not necessarily a decision, these things happen, but to be so open about being a funeral director, the business of funerals and death and dying, Did you realise that it would help people, or did you have concerns that people might, recoil from it, seeing it as very morbid or inappropriate? Were you surprised, or have you been surprised, the positive impact this openness seems to have had on many people?
Yeah, the responses I got back from the Netflix documentary, and now the response is coming back from the book. They're opening up about their own thoughts, and it's actually making them talk about it. And they're actually, the book is getting a good response now, and the positive reactions is unreal that's coming from people. I was very nervous about the documentary because, again, it's a taboo subject and nobody wants to talk about it. And I had a bit of a fear about showing what I do on television. But I was amazed at the response. People absorbed it and thought about it, and it made them think about their own mortality.
Okay.
And, I just want people to remember that I believe that the spiritual world is much greater than this one down here. And whatever God you believe in one, because you will leave this planet as well.
All right, David McGowan, author of A Life Among the Dead, Stories from an Irish Funeral Director. The book, I presume, as always, it's available in all bookshops. Is it, David?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I believe it is. It's the publishing company that has them. They're all up in Roar, where I come from now, Sligo and Ballinair. They're sold out of them. Most bookshops have it on up there anyway.
All right. Okay, listen, thanks so much for that, David. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
No matter, Greg.
Okay, there you go. A caller says it's an interesting field of work. Does he believe in spirits as a result of his job? Well, he made, since that text came in, a number of references that would make me very confident that, of course, he does. Right, okay, let's take a break. We'll be back with the weather. The chair of Moving Meva Forward, that is former councillor Noel McBride. Noel, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Have we white smoke?
We have white smoke, Greg, after 13 years. Well, please God, the smoke doesn't turn grey on us again. But no, at this stage, I think we're moving forward with it, with the footpath linking Carrigart and Downings. It went up on e-tenders there on Friday last, and tenders have to be submitted now by the 1st of November. Now, it'll be done in two phases. That'll be for the first phase. And that should take it from the entrance to the Golf Pavilion, roughly about halfway or about up to the junction with the road going up by what we call the old graveyard and the road going to Carrigart. And then phase two, hopefully, will follow on shortly after that.
Arguably, that first phase is the most dangerous, isn't it? It's a very popular cycling, walking route. It's a very narrow road. And the thing, because it's so popular, you have people walking and cycling in both directions, which significantly narrows the road. So arguably the most dangerous section, that is the part going to tender. But Noel, the big question is, does that mean the funding is there? So when the tenders are in,
the funding's there. Excuse me. There's 500,000 sitting there at the moment, has been sitting there now for a few years. Minister Heather Humphreys visited the area one day, and she was fairly impressed with her idea. And she said initially she would put 500,000 towards it, and that money is there for us. So we hopefully now, look, not saying it'll take 500,000 to do phase one or whatever. I haven't a clue what the tender prices will come in at. But we're hopeful anyway that it'll be started. Look, I suppose 1st November tenders come in, has to be assessed by Donegal County Council, then into December. I can see it starting maybe end of January, February 2025.
It'll be very attractive, no doubt about that, but ultimately actually it's the safety side of it, and hopefully people actually use it, particularly cyclists, when it is up and running. In relation to the planning eventually was put in correctly and was approved. But in terms of land acquisition, anything like that, any stumbling blocks, that's all resolved. So once the tender has been agreed, it's a case of when can you get the contractor on site and just batter on with it?
That appears to be the way. I spent a morning with personnel from Donegal County Council, maybe back at this stage, it could be a year ago. And we talked to the landowners in phase phase one, and they were all in agreement. And I assume I haven't any negative feedback. And I've also been talking to the landowners in phase two, and they're in agreement as well.
Good. Okay. Very good.
And we're hopefully now that it'll just all go according to plan, and we'll get the project underway. As you said, look, the safety aspect of it is paramount, because and all the time that we've been talking about this, I was always afraid that there was going to be a serious accident on that road. And please God, until we get it constructed, there won't be. But there were so many. You know yourself, people in the area were very, very supportive of it. They all wanted it. Our tourists wanted it, but we just couldn't get it over the line. But thankfully now we're at the stage we're at.
Nice to get some good news. A caller wants to know, is there any update? I'm not sure if you would know. Some work was being done to create an entrance to Downing's Beach at the top end. I'm not sure if it's the top or bottom end, but it seems to have stalled. There's a funding issue there. Do you have any info on that?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I didn't.
Sorry, we'll check it out.
Downing's Beach. Well, there was talk of an entrance going into Downing's Beach at one stage, but that seems to have fallen by the wayside.
Halfway through, like by
it was going across.
Yeah.
It was going across private lands there, and I don't know if what arrangement was reached.
Well, we'll check that with the council. I know you're not with the council, but I just ask because you might have heard. Hi, Greg, at long last. How many years overdue? Thanks for keeping this highlighted. Coming in from Carl. 13 years, lucky for some.
Yeah, 13 years. Well, lucky for some. Hopefully it's great news. Great news for the area, great news for the locals, great news for tourism and for safety.
Okay. Thanks.
That's just the best we can
put
sure.
It. Thanks for your time and thanks for the update. Take care of yourself. It's many's a summer ago that I was told that it would be opened for the following summer. It didn't happen, but hopefully now everything seems to be in place and in order. A caller says, I live on the Golf Course Road in Letterkenny and I've noticed a lot of litter being dumped in my garden. I mentioned this one day to a neighbour who said she noticed it happened to her garden too. A man who thinks he's doing a good job by lifting it is then dropping... Can't believe this. A man who thinks he's doing a good job by lifting it, guess what he's doing then? He's dropping it into my front garden. It turns out this same man walking was doing it to her garden too. Can I appeal to this man who thinks he's doing a good job to carry a litter bag and bring the rubbish home? Okay, so is he picking the rubbish up and chucking it into your garden to clean the road? Probably, I'm sure, very well intentioned, but it needs to be put in a bag. That's a bizarre one. I'm not laughing because it's not serious. It's just the whole notion, of it's a bit bizarre. A caller points out that there's no eye clinic in Letterkenny either, even no eye clinic indeed. Here's one about how we can promote our region. I put my scenery photos of Donegal on Google Maps. I have 26 million views on the 1,000-plus photos in 4 years. I call it capturing the moment. Really important, actually, and well done to you. Uploading your photos to Google is a great way of promoting an area because many of us, if you travel to a new area, Google's the first place you go to find out what's happening or what's beautiful, what have you. And there's a caller doing a great job in relation to that. I put up quite a few photos myself on Google. I don't have 26 million views, but I have views in the millions. So I need to up my game in terms of my photography. Now, a caller says, can Highland confirm the major fish kill and pollution on Port Arthur Beach, Gwydor, by slurry spreading? Inspectors from Inland Fisheries and Glenveagh Rangers are presently on site. So, of course, this is what we do. We check this stuff out. So you're quite correct. Inland Fisheries did go on site after reports of a fish kill and pollution on Port Arthur Beach, Gwydor. You may not be happy with the response, but this is the response we've received from them. Inland Fisheries Ireland's 24/7 hotline received a report of a fish kill at Port Arthur on Monday morning. An IFI environmental officer was on site within 2 hours to conduct a site investigation. The IFA site investigation did not find any evidence of either a fish kill or a pollution occurrence. So this caller convinced there was both a fish kill and pollution, but the IFI did an inspection within 2 hours of receiving a report and they concluded that they did not find any evidence of either a fish kill or a pollution occurrence. I've been asked to mention that there is a rosary in St. Peter's Church, Milford. It's at 6:30 this evening and it's at St. Mary's Church, Remelton at 8 p.m. It's for Paul Buchanan, who's missing, please mention. And we praise all the efforts of those out searching for Paul and we think on his family and his friends and everyone who just wants Paul home at this stage. And we just hope that that happens as soon as is possible. It's very, very difficult for so many people. But, you know, sometimes we search for... Sometimes we sort of go, well, I'm worried about this and I'm lost. You know, not necessarily if we're directly affected, but just in the wider community. And it might help for you to come with others. So it's a rosary in St. Peter's Church, Milford, this evening at 6:30 p.m. and St. Mary's Church, Remelton, at 8 p.m. And it's for Paul Buchanan, who you will know is missing. And I think it's entering day five of the search at this point. All right, that's where we have to leave it on the 9 till noon show today. Thank you so very much to all of you who took part in the program. It's great to have you on board. We really do appreciate it here. Don't forget, if you're listening on the podcast or if you are listening to our overnight replay, you can get involved in the conversation as well. Feel free to email us, comments@highlandradio.com, and we can air your comments on our next live broadcast. But for me, Greg Hughes and the team, have a wonderful Tuesday. Stay safe